You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are talking to Justice Mokoebo, and it is a Technology Tuesday today. Now, the notion that agriculture, right, as a global practice has been exploiting resources faster than they could be renewed has been a topic of discussion and debate for decades. Perhaps one might even want to argue that it's been centuries. Symptoms of imbalance have been seen in the form of pollution, soil erosion, wildlife population decline, and the general alterations of a natural flora or fauna as a result of human intervention. So what role does technology play in sustainability, particularly in agriculture and, of course, environmental practices? And to help us understand this one, we've got, of course, a friend of the show, Justice Mokoebo, who's going to be talking to us on this particular one. Mhlekazi, good evening.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. And yourself?
I am doing good, living by the grace of God.
Ah, fantastic. Sounds like you had to think about it there. Like, I am okay. But I'm glad you're doing very well. How's been the day?
The day has been a recovering one. I had a bit of an incident over the weekend, I am recovering. I am recovering. It was just something out of line, out of touch.
I see.
Could have been saying something different, but
we thank the
God
Lord
has chosen to give us more life.
We thank the Lord indeed for that. Certainly that sounds very, very scary. But we thank the Lord you're here and having this conversation with us. Well, you need to take a bit of more time and then rest, you know.
Definitely, that's what I've been doing. I've been working for the first couple of days. I've been at home.
Yeah.
And since I got back from Venda, because the incident happened somewhere in Limpopo, so I just decided that this week I should just rest and regenerate the muscles that needs to regenerate.
Well, I'm taking a non-executive decision that for the rest of the year you can rest, you know. and go back to work next year. It's a non-executive decision.
I need that. I just wish some of my partners and my bosses could hear you and just agree with you that we could. I might as well tonight blow my crickets.
Yeah.
And say Happy New Year. We'll meet in 2024
with the power vested on me right now. You know, we are declaring that.
Amen.
For the rest of the year, you are out. No, thank you so much, man, for taking the time to join us once more. You know, you're joining us on the day when people are calculating the hours before they get paid. I keep punting this today because someone was saying to me, hey, it's been a tough month this October one. And people are like, yeah, we are counting, Vela. I'm like, hey, kuningi. It's a lot.
And then even the debits are counting.
Yeah, they are waiting. They've been waiting since the 20th, those ones. Hey, those crooks and all that. But did you file yesterday?
Excuse me?
Did you file yesterday?
We did it. It was just a short notice type of thing.
I know,
right? Sometimes you forget these things.
Yeah.
So, I did file. I was actually assisting even my dad. He was running around. Yeah, can you please help me with this? I'm like, let me help you. I don't know why we always do these things on last minute.
I know. I've been there as well. Yesterday night when I came back, it was around 10 o'clock. I was like, I need to file this. The thing is, hey, that guy doesn't smile. Caesar, you know, when he wants his money, he wants his
they
money.
They want the money. You need to make sure. What else has been the Hawks coming?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. We don't want any of that. We're talking about the technology and sustainability. No, my thing is that the question around sustainability, Justice, has been one that's been going on for a very long time. And I think we now moved into ESG being, you know, one of those things that are discussed in the boardrooms because we're looking at the issue of technology. But of course, there's the issue of then balancing technology with sustainability and bringing the two together. Maybe let's start even there. Is it something that's worth pursuing, balancing technology and sustainability?
Yes, I think it's very much worth pursuing because of we can talk about how to be precise. Technology has come to a point where we can use it to make something precise and we can get something at least more exact than just our own ways of doing things. The last week I took a leave.
Yeah.
I went back home. I was fixing a fence.
Yeah.
Instead of using some of the dated stuff that I can use on my phone, I was using my eyes to measure the poles if ever they are in line.
Yeah. Right?
I would stand on the other side and look at the other one.
Yeah.
They were not precise, but I could have used the tools that I am able to use today in order for me to make sure that I have got like precise, like my fence is like straight and it's okay before I straighten it. So if we can be able to use technology in a way of balancing it towards sustainability, that means we are able to bring out the best of sustainability as much as we can, because it will help us to be precise. We have seen so many technologies. Let's talk about maybe what I was doing.
Yeah.
There are so many ways I could have measured it. I could have just used a rope, which rope is part of technology that came to be. I could have just used a laser, right?
Yeah.
Which is another form of technology that I could have used. And that also would help me to also have sustainability in terms of how much I would have spent on the fence that I am fixing, because I wouldn't just go there and buy something that is long, but I will buy something that is precise. So if we are balancing technology and sustainability together, which is very much doable, we are able to become more sustainable in a way that we might retain either funds or maybe use what we need right now instead of overusing and not being able to have tomorrow. So if we are able to balance it, which is very possible, then we are good. We are good for even our children when they come, they would find us having practiced enough of sustainability, because that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Using what you can today and leaving what you can leave for the future, which is just basically sustainability.
Yeah.
And that is what we are lacking. But if we can use this technology to help us in precisions, right, more especially in farming, which is very important, we are, you know, these days we are able to actually calculate how long a broiler could take to grow, right? If it takes maybe 5 weeks, we know how much food it will need because of the same technology. That way I wouldn't just go there and buy a lot of bags of grower or starter. I would just buy precise food, precise bags of starter, precise bags of grower, and precise bags of finisher, because now the technology has helped me to calculate these things. And in return, it's sustainability, right? So if we can be able to balance it together, we are able to like become better sustainable. I hope I'm answering that question correctly.
No, you have. And I'm actually thinking about two things as you say that, because I think people who are environmentalists would be happy with your answer. Because obviously that's their major concerns. But I do think that people who are purely profit driven and who are about making profits, which is very important, by the way, because it sustains lives, sustains families that work for that particular company and all that. I was actually making an example earlier on that if you look at most of the African continent, particularly if you go into Mozambique, for instance, they are overfishing. They don't have fish anymore. And the economy and everyone else that, you know, was dependent on the fish, their lives are at risk. So when we talk about balancing this technology and sustainability, what are the major concerns around that?
The major concerns, like the first one that you mentioned, right? Some of the people would suffer, more especially people that are profit-driven. You made a good example with Mozambique, right? They were focused mostly on fish. If you talk up to any person around, if you say, I want to go to Mozambique to visit Mozambique, they'll say, make sure you visit as much markets as you can so that you can enjoy different varieties of fish and different ways of eating their fish, because we know that they are one of the best fish producers, right? If we can also talk about ourselves. Like, remember a while ago when we were talking about technology and agriculture.
Yeah.
I made an example with my grandmother, who would go to the small patch of land and farm there, instead of allowing the land to like revive itself,
yeah,
or maybe practicing other agricultural practices, or planting, maybe let's say this year she plants peanuts and then next year she plants the corn, so that the soil gets like enough time to regenerate. She would just go there and plant the same thing over and over again, because now she's thinking about feeding, but in the same time the soil is no longer being sustainable enough to give the crops enough food that they can be able to produce, or give a good produce, right? So those are the people that kind of like would end up suffering. Those are some of the consequences, and more especially because of perhaps maybe the lack of knowledge, perhaps maybe the lack of not wanting to involve this technology. You know, as Mozambique as it is, right? Perhaps maybe they could be an introduction of technology and teaching them how to locate where should they fish now, how should they fish now, how do they sustain the kind of fish that they're fishing, should they stop in this season, how do they fish and also be able to survive. I was watching a short clip on X.
It's changed now, I know.
Yes, so when I was watching that clip, it was more like a hornbill. I forgot the name of that bird. That bird was feeding the fish. It eats fish, but it's feeding the fish.
Sure.
So in my mind, I was like, this is some crazy sustainability that is happening within this bed.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it knows that it's going to eat here. So it needs to feed the fish. So instead, if it was not doing that, it was going to be eating all the fish, and the children, the next birds that are going to come, they won't have anything to eat. Perhaps maybe it's just going to eat one fish, and then the other birds will come and feast. But then those fish that are full, they're going to make more fish. And then in return, the place will always have fish, and the livestock that are dependent on eating the fish are going to be sustained. So those are some of the people that that gets to suffer, are people that are in a profit basis. Because if we're saying that we are trying to be sustainable, that means those that are dependent on supplying more goods are going to supply less. Those that are selling more petrol are going to sell less petrol. Those companies are going to down. Retrenching is going to happen because there's no more profit. So those are the parts that are going to suffer. But on the brighter side, we might be able to say that, okay, if we have been sustainable, let's make an example with petrol, right? Using the amount that we need for now, that means there's no more gallivanting. There's no more just driving around for nothing. We are going to say that, okay, petrol price is going to go down. The same applies with a whole lot of other agricultural produce. If we consume less, or if we consume what we need today and not just throw away the things we don't need, that means tomorrow the prices might go down. And that also benefits our economy in a very, very great way. So it's two ways. There are those that are going to suffer, like you mentioned in the beginning, and there's a greater community that might actually benefit from all this, us being sustainable and using this technology to be sustainable.
Is there a middle ground? Because it sounds like it's almost two extremes where we are forced into choosing the better devil here. Is there some sort of middle ground where we can, at least a sweet spot between both extremes?
You know, I've always dreamed, ever dream of saying that if only there could be one day that on that day we only use buses,
yeah,
or we use bicycles,
yeah,
right? But then by just saying that, there's someone who's going to drive their car just to see what's going to happen to them. So in a way, I don't think there's an exact middle ground.
Yeah.
It could only come if ever every person is focused on one goal. You see what happened in COVID. Even though people were being forced, but there was a limit in the amount of movement in many places, which was helping a lot, right? Not only for the COVID side, but also for the environment. I feel like the environment got an opportunity to like regain some of its strength for just that 21 days. It regained a lot of strength, and it was so calm during that time. I remember I was at home in Venda, and it was so calm, very, very calm. Like you could smell the good air that, oh, the nature is starting to retain its strength and it's starting to like come back to life. So if only we can come to a sense of agreement and being in one mindset as a greater community, or perhaps maybe shared. Today is Gauteng, tomorrow is Limpopo. We just maybe change and share. Today we're just stopping any production just for 12 hours for these things. If we can do that in a sense of sustainability for just one day a month or one day a year, I think that can be the middle ground. But we always know that there's always going to be a Judas, right?
Yeah.
And in 60 million people, imagine how many there will be.
Yeah, no. We don't want to lose the billions that we are making every day. So I suspect that middle ground is not what the capitalists would be looking out for. but let's drill down then, because I think technology obviously has an impact on the environment or environmental practices, but also on agricultural practices. And I know we've touched a little bit on the agricultural practices there. Like you said, you know, you could use technology to measure things much more quicker. You can see how many hectares, you know, using technology that you need to plant and plant them sustainably in a manner that, you know, can benefit the entire community and even yourself as a farmer. Environmentally, though, how does technology bring us closer to some level of sustainability in our practices, and this is obviously, you know, trying to also appease those that are environmentalists.
When it comes to the environment, we can talk about something called social sustainability, right?
Yeah, okay.
Which brings us all together as people when we talk about involving education, your healthcare, that brings opportunity for everyone. Social inequality, so to say, and promoting a safe communities. Let's go back to the incident that happened in Johannesburg. I think it was 2 months ago, right?
Yeah.
The explosion.
Yeah.
There's a company that is working on mapping that area,
yeah,
right? The pipings and all those kind of stuff. That is technology at its peak.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that is another, and that is an environmental kind of a company that does environmental work on a different sphere. So when we talk about how it's assisting in ensuring that the mapping is done, it will bring right amount of equipments that needs to fix that place, what needs to be done, instead of just going there and we say we are removing the entire pipe system because we feel like it's not going to work anymore. We are just going to be wasting a lot of money, a lot of taxpayer money. But that company doing that, mapping the area, is also going to also pinpoint certain areas that really need fixing that maybe could be missed if we were just focusing on that one place, which brings us to a sense of kind of sustainability in the environment, so to say, because now they're going to be doing something that is precise and they're going to use what they need for that place and not use more than that. So when it brings to the tender system, then those that are going to be in charge for the biddings and all that, that's going to happen, they will have a set budget, and instead of wasting our monies, more monies on buying things that are not needed there, then it's going to be something else. And there's so much information, like when we talk about social sustainability, this information it now can be converted into education, right? They're using drones there. That's education. We can go out and teach young people about these things that do not know about this. We can go out and teach the community. Now a lot of people know that there's a lot of pipelines inside Johannesburg. People that didn't know, we didn't know. We just know that there was a mine, there was this and this and that, but we didn't know it looked as it is. So this is another way that in terms of environmental education, we're going into depth, and this was technology that is assisting us to do this. In the environment, when we are busy trying to map up the area and, you know, to see that where is a lot of landfills, where illegal dumping sites, we use our GIS mappings, right? Like recently we were also planting trees in Tshwane, in the entire Gauteng, because there's an initiative by the government to plant a million trees. And 10 million trees nationally, right? But in Gauteng, in our department, we made our own target that to contribute to the 10 million trees, we're going to plant 1 million trees. But we need to track where those trees are planted. We use GIS for that. That actually helps us to be to ensure that there's a tree planted in every location that we had pinpointed, that this location doesn't have trees, to ensure that there is tree sustainability in this place. We need to map this area and that one and that one and that one. And so that we don't just go to a place and say that we're going to plant trees, can't we have already planted those? GIS mapping is working for that. And also, what do you call this? I said something about illegal dumping sites. We map those things using the same technology. That and helps us to provide services where the service needs to go. And to make sure that there is a safe environment for people, we're using this technology to help us with these things. And the communication that we are having, the data analysis that we are doing all the time, the amount of pollutes that we, the tons that we are shipping to towards the legal dumping site, you know, all these things are affected around technology. And without technology, we wouldn't be as much precise as we could be, or we're trying to be in this moment. And yeah, I mean, like, let's talk about climate change, Tapelo. Climate change is in line with what do you call this, global warming. We need technology to measure the amount of carbon dioxide that is in the atmosphere. The amount of carbon dioxide, when they say that country X is now producing too much carbon dioxide, they are using technology for that. It's not just a matter of eyesight or maybe thinking, oh, Tapelo now just opened a manufacturing company. That means it's going to produce tenfold of carbon dioxide. It's something that they use technology for that. Even the machines themselves comes with, you know, your cars, they come with like a reading that this car produces this amount of carbon dioxide to the environment. That way we're able to calculate those things using the very same technology and also try to find ways in which we can mitigate the climate change that is currently happening or the amount of carbon dioxide that is going to the atmosphere. So these technology helps us hand in hand to ensure that in terms of the environment and the safety, there is that sense of sustainability within the environment, ensuring that the biodiversity is conserved. There is minimal waste that is let out there, the pollution, all those kind of stuff. We calculate these things with technology and also helping us to know how much do we need. Because sometimes the pollution happens because we are just making more and more and more things that we don't really need, right? There's not, it's not a really a need that if you're using your car to go and buy grocery, there's no need for you to buy plastic. You just have to take the trolley, take it back to your car, offload your groceries, right? So that can also help us in different ways of calculating these things. Like, okay, we've got this information, we've got this ton of plastics in the environment. Shop 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, can you stop producing plastic for people that are coming with cars? You know, something like that. Or just basically stop producing plastic, do this and this and this. That is technology that is helping us calculate those things. We can't do it on our own. So in terms of environment, yeah, that's how maybe technology has been factored in on a daily basis. And that's, we need more of this. We really need more of this because it's very, it's becoming very hot. It's becoming so cold. You know, climate change is happening and it's happening on our watch. So we need more of people and more of things that technology that is going to help us to ensure that there's sustainability in the environment in different spheres.
I think you've touched on quite a lot of very important things there. Starting, of course, with the one that really caught my attention was the issue of planting of the trees there. You know, if you visit the, you know, other provinces outside of this economic hub of South Africa, there's more trees than anything else, right? And and the air that you breathe there becomes a little bit different. You can feel the moment you walk into some parts of Mpumalanga, for instance, where I was yesterday. That the breath, the air there is. next time, don't worry. But the air, because there's so many trees there. You can feel the air that you're breathing, air that's different and air that's rather therapeutic, if you want to take it even to that extent, which, of course, then increases the lifespan of the people there. But also biodiversity and the environment itself there gets preserved because of that. So shout out to, you know, government and yourselves doing that particular, because Joburg and Gauteng in particular is very dry. I mean,
we are
polluted by these cars and everything that we keep breathing every single day, because the number of trees that we have here in Gauteng needs to be increased. So that's really something that was important. And I think the social sustainability there and the use of drones is another one that I found quite interesting. I must be honest with you, Justice, right, that for the longest of time, I think only now in my adulthood, I'm beginning, I suppose, to understand this thing of climate change. But every time they spoke about it at school, when I was still at school, they would say climate change, and where does he come from? I don't know why I always associated climate change with a guy, but I was always like, who is this guy, you know, that we are always told about climate change? And I don't want to take it for granted here, Justice, to say, is climate change a real thing? Let's be honest.
As someone who's working with the environment, yes, it's a real thing. It's a real thing. I know there's so much that is happening out there, and you know there's so many conspiracies that are happening in various places. But if we take a look at how the climate has changed and how weather patterns have changed in different places, you can just sense it, feel it yourself that no, this is actually hotter than it used to be. This is actually colder than it used to be. Where I come from, right, in the evening it's so cold, but immediately at 7 o'clock it's very, very hot.
Sure.
And it never used to be like this back when I was still younger. The climate is changing, right? It's becoming warmer, and let's talk about the waves that have been happening. Those spring tides that were happening down in Cape Town, in the Eastern Cape, just I think it's in September. They do happen, but they were happening in a different space right now in this time of this year. It happened overly. Recently, we just had rain, and it was predicted that KZN is going to have floods. How many times were we having floods? Were there floods in KZN?
Yeah.
And if we date back, floods were not frequently happening as much as they are happening right now. So this climate change is definitely happening. Just, you know, I was laughing with someone making a joke while we were gassing up the car on our way to Johannesburg, because that's where I usually work. And then I'm like, the petrol is expensive now, but coming during peak hour in Midrand, you would actually think that people have got petrol cards that are given, that have been given somewhere, and you need to just follow them. You see big machines, right? Big cars speeding, not driving very slow. And there's us with our 100 friends.
Yeah, preserving that 100 rand.
We're preserving it, and people are buying cars, right? I'm not saying it's anything wrong, right? We should go for what we want.
Yeah.
So, but what I'm saying is that where is that carbon dioxide going to? In a place like Gauteng, where, like you mentioned, there's less trees, and it's very true. If you go to Mabopane, there's less trees. If you go to Arankua, there's less tree. If you go to Van der Bay, the other side of Gauteng, there's less trees. And these places get very, very, very hot during the summer season, and very, very cold during the winter season. But still, this is just another adverse effect of climate change. And until we take it to our hand and say that, okay, enough about the conspiracies, enough about this and this, we need to make sure that we save our planet and hold our hands together and fight with this thing. If it's a conspiracy, then let's prove it, right?
Yeah.
Let's prove it by action and say that, okay, we are going to do what they say we are doing. If it doesn't work, then it's a conspiracy. If people are saying it's a conspiracy. But climate change is there, global warming is there, and we've been talking about this thing for a very long time, since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. And yes, there are some people that may push it too much, maybe for the sake of the money and all this other stuff that they might be getting from, you know, for advertising it and all this kind of stuff. But at the same time, this thing is there. The climate is changing in many, many aspects. There are trees that are becoming extinct because of the heat. There are There are rivers that are drying out because of the heat.
Mm.
There are places where, like, we actually recently had drought in Cape Town. I think it was 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, sometime during that period.
Mm.
This is all the heat and less rain, right?
Mm.
The earth is becoming warmer and warmer. So because of this greenhouse effects that we are always taking out to the atmosphere. So climate change is there. And the sooner we actually come up with the mentality of sticking together and fight it on our own as people, then our children are going to suffer.
Yeah.
And they're going to blame us for lacking sustainability to fight off this climate change.
Yeah, no, the thought is just scary. You know, they want to live in a world that's even hotter than ours, and they had nothing to do with it. I mean, literally.
And we can't even serve you. Most people, if I take you to Limpopo, in Kusina, in other parts of Limpopo, you know, they can't survive.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah.
You can't. You definitely can't.
Sure.
You can't. But then you still want to, like, we'll wait until then. Okay.
Yeah.
No problem.
Or even thinking that this thing is not real, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. And let's talk about businesses as we maybe drive towards the end. And I want us to look at it in both ways. What is it that businesses can do? In other words, how can they get involved in this environmental restoration, you know, trying to run away from, climate change and global warming? Are there technologies that businesses can pursue in their everyday business operations? But also, I'm just thinking as I have this conversation that maybe you and I, and maybe our listeners as well, need to get involved. How do we get involved as individuals? But maybe what technologies can companies, you know, integrate into their daily operations that can bring us a little bit closer to sustainability?
Uh-huh. I think the first one is, it's a straightforward one, the one that we really need, because we are actually all of us suffering from load shedding.
Yeah, definitely.
Let us use this heat to generate electricity with solar systems, right?
Yeah.
That actually will help a lot for us to reduce the amount of coal that is spent to make electricity for us. You know, the solar systems are just another push forward to environmental sustainability, right? Which means just maybe if, let's say, the whole Gauteng is using solar systems, imagine the amount of electricity that is on the grid that is going to go down, and not much electricity will have to be produced. Yes, it's going to damage a whole lot of things in terms of, you know, the company, the Eskom as it is, as it's generating electricity and also making money for the state or wherever the money is going to.
Mm.
But then that's going to be drastic on that. But in the same time, it's going to help us become sustainable in terms of the amount of money that is spent feeding those turbines and the amount of diesel that is bought, because some of those turbines do need diesel to work.
Yeah.
And in the same time, the environment around the stations that are producing electricity, the biodiversity that is being damaged on a daily basis, the mining activities that are happening to get that that coal, where those trucks are moving, the amount of carbon emission that just happened from the moment they mine the coal to the moment you use electricity in your plant or in your manufacturing facility, that can be solved by just using your solar systems. If we can all come together, companies, and they've been doing tremendously, right? If you go around the cities and many warehouses, you would see like a lot of solars on top of the roofs, which is very profound, right? Which is very good. Rather, they produce a lot of electricity with solar that they can't even use, other than, you know, demanding a lot of electricity from the grid that they are using or every now and then, because it's the electricity that is going to be produced and what the carbon emission that they are producing within within the plant as well. I think that is just one step forward that we can do. In my community, there was an initiative, and that was a good initiative. I don't know who came up with it. They supplied, instead of giving people electricity, they supplied them with solar system for the time being, because they didn't have electricity and they didn't know when they were going to give them electricity.
Yeah.
So people around there, they've got solar systems, and instead now they just use wood to cook, which they don't need a lot of wood to cook. You know, your bush babies, those pots, you call them bush babies.
Yeah.
yeah. they conduct heat very fast.
Yeah.
You just cook your food and then that's it. There's no gas that is happening there. There's nothing that they're using. It's all natural, and they're using solar system for themselves to cook. I think in terms of some of the how do I put this? I think this the companies must also try to get involved in recycling, right? Reducing, reusing, like, and recycling, recover, you know, all those R's. We need more companies to get involved in using that which is in the atmosphere. Let us make sure that a bin, just your bin, Tapelo, inside your bin, anything that is inside there, from the organic material that you can just, instead of discarding your food inside the bin, you can use it to make compost for yourself and your backyard. The plastic that is inside there, you can use it, or you can take it to the rightful place where it can, you know, be used to make another plastic or to do something else. Let us try to get more companies invest in recycling, reusing and recovering instead of producing more things. I think it's something that even in homes we should be teaching our children to come up with ideas of how can they transform a box of your, that famous chicken that you just finished eating. How can you do use something? How can that box do something at home instead of it going back? Because, you know, we do have the recyclers that are walking around the streets. Usually they end up polluting a lot. So chances are that whatever you put in your bin, the recycler might come and take it and throw it in the middle of the bushes, which can cause pollution, right? But if there was a mindset in every household, in every community, someone that is reusing those things, or there's a company that is investing in taking those things and recycling every bit of plastic, every bit of box that is in the dustbin, that could actually be tremendous. It would help us a lot. Those are just some of the things that can be done. And there is also, you know, cleaning the air system. I don't know how this one can come about, but we still need to find ways to recover the oil that is being used, so that it does not just get thrown into, you know, after fries are made, how many chains are making fries? How many chains are making are frying chicken these days? After that oil, can we come up with a way in which we can recover that oil and get it to work again? Even if it's not maybe going to work for food, but get it to do something else. That actually helps us that oil must not just go to the drain and end up in fresh water supplies or, in ponds that they're supposed to be the animals that are living there. So I think companies must just come up with ways to be involved in cleanup campaigns, in things that, more especially the reuse part, because that's where it goes wrong. We end up producing things that we already have and that are in the illegal dumping sites. Renewable energy, this one I'll just go back on and on with it. Renewable energy, we need to make sure that we use as much renewable energy as much as we can. Your hydroelectric powers, you know, these are some of the things that we need to use. Your solar, your wind energy, these are some of the things that we need to be investing on is companies in South Africa, in Africa in general, because we do have places where it's always windy, we do have places where it's always hot. We need to utilize these things in order for us to be able to conserve the biodiversity, and also to make sure that there is no pollution out there, and also ensuring to, like, reducing the amount of carbon emission that is out there. There's a lot of technology that we can use. Artificial intelligence is here. Sustainable agricultural practices are there that can promote farming practices and preserving soil quality, and also minimizing the amount of chemicals that are used in the environment to raise plants. You know, there's so much that we can study, and companies need to invest their monies, even in institutions, universities. They need to invest more money in those things. Invest more money in young people who can come up with fresh ideas, new ideas. Teach them the art and teach them what other kids are doing in other world, and say that we're going to invest and we're going to give you funding for these things and push them so that they can come up with new ideas. That's what companies should be doing today. And I think that's very, very important.
Sure. I think you've summarized it quite very well there. So there is, a role that can be played by companies and individuals as well to bring us closer to some level of sustainability. Beautiful conversation. Really appreciate your time, Mr. Mukwe, once again. And we shall chat to you once again next time.
Definitely. And something that maybe I know that you like very well. I do know people get tired. We need to also have tree planting robots. So if someone can come up with a way, you know, there's an environmental law that says that for every tree that you chop down, Tapelo, you need to plant three more trees.
Oh, right. Sure.
So if you see your neighbor, Tapelo, chopping down a tree, tell them that I'm going to buy 5 seeds for you.
Yeah.
And you need to make sure that those seeds grow.
Yeah, when a seed grow.
Yeah, so if we can't restore these trees that we're chopping in, it puzzles me sometimes.
Mm.
Just 1 minute, Tapelo.
No problem.
When you buy a stand, you chop down every tree in the entire stand and then build your house in the corner.
Mm.
Then the entire stand does not have any tree anymore. You even chop down the indigenous endangered trees.
Yeah.
Trees that could have provided you with some good fruits, wild fruits inside your yard.
Mm.
Trees that could maybe be in the next 10 years be worth money, because trees are worth money. You might be having that tree and it's the only tree in your entire community, and people might come, universities might come to study that tree. That's money. If you're able to reproduce that tree, or if maybe it's only growing in your yard, that is an advantage. So I think we need to come up with tree planting robots, you know, drone planting, so that we can plant more trees faster in the environment that have been chopped down, or that maybe because of deforestation, we should maybe do some afforestation and make sure that there is more trees that have been planted. So these are some of the technologies that needs to happen, and companies need to buy into these ideas.
Yep.
If they can't buy into them, they should call me and Tapelo. We will make sure that these things happen.
Definitely. I can already see a robot in my house. So, yeah, we can certainly do that. So, yeah, that's a beautiful one. I mean, it's worth exploring, getting those robots to do a greater cause as well. And, yeah, neighbors, if you chop one tree, you're going to be knocking on your door. You need to plant three more.
Definitely. Yeah.
Definitely. Have a good evening, Mr. Mukwe. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Tapelo.
Thank you.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.